Welcome to The Flatline with your host, Rick Hughes. For the next 30 minutes, you'll be inspired, motivated, educated, but never manipulated. Now, your host, Rick Hughes.
Good morning, and welcome to The Flatline. I'm the host, Rick Hughes. And for the next 30 minutes, I would like to invite you to stay tuned to our show because it could be the most important 30 minutes of your life, of your day, or perhaps even of the week. It is The Flatline, F-L-O-T, and maybe you're wondering, if you're a first-time listener, what in the world is The Flatline? FLOT is a military acronym that stands for the Forward Line of Troops. And this show, The Flatline, uses that analogy to teach you how to learn God's problem-solving devices and use them as a forward line of troops in your soul. This will stop the outside pressure of adversity from becoming the inside pressure of stress. The Flatline is basically 10 problem-solving devices found in the Bible. And when you learn these simple 10 problem-solving devices, by the way, free of charge, no nothing we're trying to sell you here, just to give you accurate Bible information. And if you learn these simple 10 problem-solving devices, then you will be on your way to stopping the outside pressure of adversity from becoming the inside pressure of stress. There's no way that we can stop adversity because that's what circumstances do to us. But stress is what we, in fact, do to ourselves. And as a believer in Jesus Christ, it is possible for you to live a life free of stress. And by that, I don't mean a life free of adversity. I mean a life free of reacting to that adversity. Anytime something bad happens in your life, you can react to it with anger, hostility, guilt, fear, etc. Or you can respond to it. And if you respond to it, you can respond using some of the problem-solving devices, such as faith rest drill, or biblical orientation, or grace orientation. And if you haven't heard these things taught yet, then if you will stick around on our radio show every Sunday morning, same time, same station, we cover these things. And I've also written a small booklet that you can have that is absolutely free of charge. We're not going to send you anything, not trying to solicit any contributions. We have nothing to sell you. But if you'd like to have the book, you can write to me, Rick Hughes, P.O. Box 100, in the city of Cropwell, Alabama, and our zip code is 35054. Or you could go to our website. It's simply www.bigrick.org, O-R-G, bigrick.org, and there you can email us and say, please send me the book on the Christian problem solving, and we'll get it right out to you, as I said. But I'm not a pastor. I don't pastor a church. This is simply a talk show where the information is more important than the person that brings the information. The information is accurate. There's no sensationalism here. There's no speculation here. There's only divine revelation from the infallible Word of God. And if you stick with me, you're going to see this show is a little different because we don't play games here, no ranting and no raving. We're simply trying to give you accurate information that will help you verify and identify God's plan for your life. And if you would like to orient and adjust to that plan, then you have the freedom and you have the privacy to do so. It's your life. You're only going to get one shot at it. And so you want to make sure you get it right so that you don't wind up blowing 20 or 30 years and then down the road saying, I really messed up and now I don't have much time left. Remember that time doesn't shout, it just runs out, and much sooner than you think. And time is something that God has given to us. It's a gift from God. And the Bible tells us in Psalm 90 that time has been given as capital or collateral so we can purchase wisdom with it. And when we get some biblical wisdom, when we understand God's plan, how it operates and how it works, then we can save a lot of time and save ourselves a lot of misery by not making a lot of bad decisions. Bad decisions limit future options, and if you make enough bad decisions, then you're going to lose a lot of time. You could lose it in jail, sitting behind a bars in a jail, or you could lose it in a hospital, or you could lose it anywhere, but you can't afford to waste time. And so life is just a short period of time, and then it's gone. And so what we're trying to give you is some information so you can have the fullest most wonderful Christ-centered life, a life that's oriented to God's plan so that he can pour out all kind of great blessings in your life. Now, we have been talking on this radio show in the last couple of weeks about volition. That is a word that I wanted to teach you. Volition. It's part of your soul. Every one of us have a volition. And the volition is what God programmed into our soul called the chooser or the decider. It's that part of you that makes the decisions that cause you to do what you do. When you get up in the morning, you look in the mirror, you decide if you're going to comb your hair, if you're going to brush your teeth, if you're going to shave, if you're going to put on makeup, it just depends. And so you use your volition to decide what you want to look like that day. And do I want to wear a black shirt or a white shirt? Do I want to wear blue jeans or shorts? Use your volition. Am I going to dress up, dress down? Your volition goes much, much deeper than that, though, because that's the very thing that determines whether or not you're going to believe in Jesus Christ. Because the Bible says, what think ye of Christ? And God clearly said, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased, said it on two different occasions in the Bible. And the question is always, the Bible says, what think ye of Christ? Do you believe that? Do you believe that Jesus Christ is the anointed Son of God? Because if you do, that's what being saved is. The Bible says in 1 John 5:1, he that believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. And Jesus said in John 6, this is the will of the one that sent me, that you believe in me whom he have sent. So coming to believe that Jesus Christ is the anointed Son of God is equivalent to you accepting him as your personal Savior. You can express your faith to God in prayer. And you can tell God in your own words, I believe that Jesus Christ is your Son, and I am willing to accept him as my Savior. That is the single most significant decision that your volition can ever make. God will hold you accountable for that decision. Because it is said in the Bible, it's appointed unto man once to die, and after that the judgment. And we're going to be evaluated, on the basis of did we believe in Jesus Christ. That is the basis for your name remaining in the Lamb's Book of Life. And that is the first thing that you're evaluated on as an unbeliever when you stand before the great white throne. Is his name in the Lamb's Book of Life? And the answer would be, no, he did not believe in Jesus Christ. Thus his name is not here. And then the angels would say, well, let's open the books of works in Revelation 20 and see if his righteousness equals the righteousness of God. And appropriate answer would be no, not hardly, because the Bible says that there are none that are righteous, no, not one. And so anyone who spends eternity in what the Bible calls the lake of fire is a person who fails to believe that Jesus Christ is the anointed Son of God. Now, another three-letter word that I want to orient you to is a word called sin. Oftentimes misunderstood, and oftentimes people make sins out of things that are not really sins. Some people will tell you that you can't drink, dance, smoke, or chew, or hang around anybody that do. People can tell you that all sorts of things are sin. They'll tell you that eating a moon pie is a sin, or drinking a Coca-Cola is a sin, or smoking a cigarette is a sin, or drinking a beer is a sin, or going roller skating is a sin. They can come up with all of these things about what sin is. But basically, the Bible says sin is three different things. It's something you think, something you say, or something you do. A mental attitude sin is something you think. A mental attitude sin could be characterized as some sort of emotional sin, like fear or worry or anger or hatred. See, those are mental attitude sins, or lust. And then something that you say, a sin that you say, is a sin committed by the tongue, and it could be a lie. It could be slander, gossip, maligning, criticizing. Or something that you do, and that could be an overt sin like murder, stealing, fornicating, adultery. So these are the three categories of sin in the Bible. And so you have to be very careful, because some people will try to corral you into a lifestyle of manipulation by coercing you into not doing certain things and telling you, well, these are sins, and if you do them, then you can't go to heaven. Well, number one, all of your sins were paid for on the cross. When our Lord Jesus Christ went to the cross and died a substitutionary death, he died for the sins of the world. Every sin. Don't let anyone tell you anything different, because the Bible clearly said that he dies for the sins of the world. And so all of your sins were paid for on the cross. And it's not your sins that would send you to the lake of fire. It is your rejection of Christ as the Son of God that would send you to the lake of fire. But if you're going to live the Christian life, if you're going to grow to be a mature believer in Jesus Christ, it's important that you understand what is a sin and what is not a sin. Because after we believe in Christ, we can still sin. And that doesn't mean we're not going to go to heaven. That means that as long as we're on planet Earth, we have a genetically formed old sin nature that we got from our father, who got it from his father, who got it eventually from Adam. That's why the Bible says, by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and now death has been passed to all. For all have sinned, and all have come short of the glory of God. And there is not a person living today on the planet. There is not a person who has ever lived on this planet, with the exception of one man, and that's Jesus Christ, the anointed Son of God, the God-man, undiminished deity, true humanity, in one body forever. He never sinned. He never committed a sin. He didn't have a genetically formed sin nature, because there was no man involved in his birth. But anyone else who's ever been born on this planet was born by means of human copulation. And whoever that person is, male or female, they have a sin nature. And we all have the ability to commit personal sin. That's clear. I mean, no one set you down and taught you how to lie. No one set you down and taught you how to get mad and lose your temper. These are things that are inherent in you. And so the more you understand about sin, the closer you can keep the account with God. Because sin gets us out of fellowship with God. Sin breaks fellowship with God, and the Bible says it does two things for the Christian. When we sin, it quenches the Holy Spirit and it grieves the Holy Spirit. Again, it does not mean we're not saved. Because once you believe in Jesus Christ, you're placed into a relationship with God. And Jesus Christ himself said, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. Paul wrote in 2 Timothy, even if we believe not, God still will abide faithful, because he cannot deny himself. And so God's not going to bail out on you because you committed a sin, just like he didn't bail out on you because you were born a sinner. You may think you're not saved anymore because of the sin that you're involved in right now, but what you've done is you've let your volition take control, and you've moved under control of your sin nature, and you're no longer allowing the Holy Spirit to control your life, and you are committing personal sin without reservation. You see, one of the things that is a tremendous problem-solving device is called problem-solving device number one, rebound. And rebound is simply when the believer in Jesus Christ goes to God and uses the appropriate scriptural application. In this particular case, it would be 1 John 1:9 that says, if we confess our sin to God, he's faithful and he's just to forgive us and to purify us from all of our wrongdoing. So as a believer in Jesus Christ, when you do sin, when you use your volition to go against the mandates of God, you know you shouldn't lose your temper. You know you shouldn't lie to the IRS. You know you shouldn't whatever, but you did it. Then you can go to your Heavenly Father and you can admit your sin, and your Heavenly Father will forgive you. Now, there may be ramifications the sin carries with it, especially if you lie, if you mislead, and these things are discovered, then you'll have to pay the consequences. But you must learn to rebound any known sin to God quickly if you're ever going to grow spiritually and have a chance to become a mature believer. You cannot ever become a mature believer with letting unconfessed sin reside and fester in your life, because that quenches the Holy Spirit and that grieves the Holy Spirit. And consequently, you're not going to grow spiritually because you're not going to be able to be fed. You see, you can go to church with unconfessed sin in your life, and even though you're in the right place, you're in the wrong way. And being in the right place in the wrong way means you're not going to get anything out of it, because it is the Holy Spirit's job to take what that pastor teaches and make it applicable to your life. And if that can't happen because the Holy Spirit's been quenched or grieved, then you're going to walk out of the church not understanding what the preacher said. You may have had some sort of guilt. Maybe you're going to feel a little bad because you know that when you went in there this morning that there was sin in your life and you haven't dealt with it. And thus you had a little twinge of guilt. And you looked around hoping that no one in the congregation knew about what you were doing. The only problem is that God knows, because the Bible says that His eyes search the whole earth looking to see who are righteous. And so there's nothing we can hide from God. And remember that you're going to sin after you get saved. 1 John 1:8 says, if we say that we have no sin, we're deceiving ourselves, and the truth is not in us. So we're deceiving not only ourselves, but we try to deceive other people too sometimes, and that's the problem. So the first thing you got to remember as a Christian, can you sin? And the answer is yes, you can sin. And why do you sin? Because you make a volitional decision inside your own soul. You're responsible for your decisions, and you make a volitional decision to do it. Did you know it was sin? It doesn't make any difference if you knew it was sin or not. You still made a volitional decision to do it. And for example, if you're in a foreign country and you run a stop sign because you cannot read what it says and you cause a crash and people are killed, do you think they're going to let you off and say, well, we can't convict this poor person because he couldn't read the stop sign? You made a volitional decision. You didn't make the right decision. God holds you accountable whether you know it's a sin or not. And you see, you say, well, how could he do that? Because you are responsible for your decisions, good and bad. Every decision starts with the first and the most important decision. What think you of Christ? You made a decision to eat this morning. You made a decision to go to your job. You made a decision to get out of the bed. And what think you of Christ? And you're going to make a decision about whether or not to go to church, whether or not to attend church. And these are all decisions. And all sin is a decision that you make. Remember that. Don't forget that. Because you are responsible for your decision. And bad decisions limit future options. Now, God is not counting all of your bad decisions. He's not writing all your bad decisions down so that when you get to heaven, He's going to have a movie projector and show every bad thing you ever did. That's not going to happen. Christ paid for all of your sin. And as a human being, when you sin, you can rebound or recover from the sin, which simply means that you resume your spiritual life by reinstating the filling of the Holy Spirit. See, when you got saved, God the Holy Spirit was given to you as a tutor or a mentor. Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, said He was going to go away and He was going to send His Spirit, and that His Spirit would guide you and lead you into all truth. And Paul wrote that we are to be filled with the Spirit in Ephesians 5:18. And some people don't really understand what this means. It's very simple. When you believed in Christ, several things happened to you. And one of them was that you were given the Holy Spirit and you were filled with the Spirit. And the Holy Spirit's job is to subdue your sin nature. You can either walk in the flesh or you can walk in the Spirit. Paul is clear about this in Galatians. If you're walking in the Spirit, you're filled with the Spirit. If you're walking in the flesh, you're letting the old sin nature control your life. So basically, you have a battle going on. And as the Bible says, the flesh wars against the Spirit, and the Spirit wars against the flesh. And these are contrary one to the other. So the $64,000 question, as they used to say on that TV show, is, which one will you let control your life today? Are you going to abide by the filling of the Holy Spirit and let the Holy Spirit guide your volitional decisions? Or are you going to let your old sin nature control your life today and let the old sin nature lead you in your volitional decisions? Whichever one controls your life, that's the road you're going to go down. And if you go down the road of the old sin nature, then the Bible says you're carnal. And if you go down the road of letting the Holy Spirit control your life, the Bible says you're spiritual. And anything you do while you're carnal, any good works you do while you're carnal, that's unconfessed sin in your life, like going to church, singing in the choir, giving money, that kind of good work is called human good. And it doesn't honor God, and it will be burned up at the judgment seat of Christ where all believers are judged. This is not the great white throne where unbelievers are judged. It's the judgment seat of Christ in 1 Corinthians 3. But if you go to church filled with the Holy Spirit, that simply means there's no unconfessed sin in your life. Then when you sing in the choir, or you pray, or you give, or you attend worship, this is called divine good. And now God can reward you for it. And that's what 1 Corinthians 3:11 through 16 calls gold, silver, and precious stones. The analogy is made there to the spiritual life. If you have the ability to produce wood, hay, and stubble, or you have the ability to produce gold, silver, and precious stones. And that is determined by your volition. Will you walk in the Spirit, or will you submit yourself to the control of the sin nature? And if you submit yourself to the control of the sin nature on a frequent basis, then God will faithfully warn you that you're out of line. And that warning comes as warning discipline. And you can see this in Hebrews 12, verses 6 and following, where those that he loves, he chastens and he warns. Sometimes he has to scourge us with a whip. That's called intense discipline. And so God's discipline comes in stages for the believer who consistently uses his volition to go negative to God's plan. And he warns us, and sometimes he has to whip us. God, yes, he has to introduce pain into our lives, and that pain gets our attention. And it focuses your mind back on your spiritual life. When you abandon your spiritual life, and you go happily down the my way highway, and you ignore the mandates of God, you're setting yourself up for divine discipline. Because God loves you. And what God is trying to do is stop you from self-destructing. Because the my way highway is an eventual dead end. And you may think that you got the right idea and the right plan and you're on the right road. But eventually you're going to box yourself in by making multiple bad decisions. And you're going to self-destruct. And in the end, you're going to look back on your life with guilt. You're going to look back on your life with shame. And you're going to say to yourself, I can't believe I live like that. This is not the life God intended for you. The my way highway is not where God intends for you to be. There is a highway that God wants you to be on. It's his way. It's his way highway. And number one, it will keep you from self-destructing. Number two, it will give you tremendous wisdom and insight and longevity of years. And number three, you'll have great blessing. The Bible clearly says happiness belongs to the people in Luke 11, 27 and 28. Happiness belongs to the people who hear my Father's word and keep it. The greatest blessing in the world is on the God's way highway. And you are a believer in Christ. You've accepted Christ as your Savior. It starts with you fulfilling the mandates in the Bible that say grow in the grace and the knowledge of your Lord and your Savior, Jesus Christ. You cannot grow spiritually on the my way highway. You cannot grow spiritually under control of your sin nature while you quench and grieve the Holy Spirit. You cannot grow spiritually by abandoning your local church when the Bible says you forsake the assembling of yourself together, or you go AWOL. The Bible uses the term, a deserter. You've abandoned your post. And that's what happens when people in arrogant reaction to injustice that happens in their life say, I'm not going to church anymore. They're all just a bunch of hypocrites. Well, sure they are. That's what the whole world is. The whole world is full of hypocrites, you included, me included. None of us are perfect. All of us are sinners. And you might not like your church, and you might not like the deal you got at your church, but that doesn't mean that every church is like that. And so if you write them all off, then you are going to abandon your post And you're never going to grow spiritually by just taking your Bible and sitting by the stream and breathing in the miasma of the swamp. That's not going to make you grow spiritually. You grow spiritually under the authority of a pastor. And so the search is always for where is a pastor that I can trust? Number one, who can keep his mouth shut. Number two, who can teach me divine viewpoint, who can teach me the Word of God, so that I don't have to play games. I don't have to belly up to the bar to go to this church. All I got to do is show up, shut up, and fake it till I make it. You don't have to pump in a bunch of money. You don't have to raise your hand and sing, "Do, Lord," till you're blue in the face. You just have to show up with your Bible, with your notebook, and listen to the clear, lucid instruction of the Word of God. Are there really churches like this? And the answer is yes. There are. Can God show you where there's a church like this? The answer is yes, He can. Will it be a popular church where there's a lot of people? Well, the answer is not. Obviously, no, it's not going to be, because that's not what most people want. What most people go to church for is to have a family life center, to be entertained, to feel good, to worship God, and to go home and come back next Sunday and go through it again. That's not what the church was intended to be. The church is a classroom, number one, where you grow. Number two, the church is the body of Christ, where you glorify Jesus Christ through the church. And you represent Jesus Christ in your life as an individual. You become Christ-like. And the local church is very, very, very important. Sometimes local churches meet in homes because they don't have a pastor and they listen to tapes or something like that. Or sometimes they may have a huge big building or a small building. But the key is the pastor. Who's that man that you can trust to teach you the Word of God? Who is that man that will not manipulate your volition? He's not going to try you to get you to come forward. He's not going to try to get you to go backwards. He's just going to stand up there and teach you clearly what the Bible says. He's not going to keep an account of whether you came this week or didn't come this week. He's not going to keep an account of how much you gave or didn't give. He's not going to give you some packet when you show up that tells you how much you can donate each week. That's not going to happen. He's just going to be the man that will stand up and teach God's Word, and all you have to do is go and listen. Are there people like that? The answer is yes. Where are they? Why don't you pray and ask the Lord to show you? Maybe God just might show you where there are pastors like this, where you can learn God's Word, and where you can grow in grace, and where you can be the man or the woman that God intended you to be, without all the religious ornaments, without all the religious accoutrements that go along with that, so that you can serve God faithfully as a believer in Jesus Christ and in the kind of church where you can grow in grace and in the knowledge of your Lord and your Savior, Jesus Christ. There are so many things I'd like to tell you, so many things I'd like to explain to you, but in a 30-minute radio show, we don't have that much time. But I have tried to explain the difference between volition and sin today. And I have tried to make you see that you're responsible for every volitional decision that you make. If you come back next week and listen, I'm going to explain something called evil. Evil is the most misunderstood thing in the Christian world today. And I'll give a shot at it to try to help you see what evil really is. I hope you'll be here, and I hope you'll join me for that study. So until next week, this is Rick Hughes saying thank you for listening today with The Flatline.
Thank you for listening to The Flatline with your host, Rick Hughes. If you'd like to contact Rick, please write to him at P.O. Box 100, Cropwell, Alabama, 35054, or on the Internet at www.bigrick.org.